Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
Now, the conclusion of COP29 with a modest agreement on a $300 billion US dollar climate finance goal by 2035, as I'm sure you are well aware, has been met with widespread criticism for its inadequacy in addressing the escalating climate crisis. Developing nations disproportionately affected by climate change are now left to grapple with a finance framework that lacks urgency and fairness. And I'm going to talk now to Amos Wimanya, who is a responsive lead for the organization Greenpeace. Amos, a very warm welcome. So how then is your organization assessing this goal, and is it enough, do you think, in the short term to address the urgent needs of developing nations?
Thank you so much, Jeremy, for having me. You will recall that when the developing countries went to this COP, they had a goal in mind, and they had a figure of $1.3 trillion per year climate finance goal to meet the increasing impacts of climate change and keep them within the global goal of limiting temperature rise below 1.5 degrees. And it was not just about a quantitative goal. They had also some demands in terms of quality of finance that was to be provided to them. And as an organization, Greenpeace Africa, we also had demands that previously climate finance that has been extended to developing countries has led to a lot of debt distress that the countries are experiencing at the moment. When you look at Africa, 20% of the countries in Africa are in debt distress. So the quality of climate finance was also going to be a question to be addressed in this COP. But what we're looking at, a goal that does not meet the needs of developing countries to be able to adapt to the impacts of the climate change, but also to meet the losses and damages that are caused by the climate crisis. But we're also looking at a goal that is not fit for purpose. Why do I say that it's not fit for purpose? When you look at the text, it's proposing mobilization of these resources without clearly putting an onus to historical polluters to take responsibility as is required for within the convention.
So in your opinion then, what does this outcome, and I guess it speaks volumes, tell us about the current state of multilateral climate action and a willingness of developed nations to meet those important obligations?
You see that developed countries were always in these discussions derailing any progress towards getting an ambitious, needs-based and debt-free climate finance goal. And this does not help in rebuilding the trust within multilateral processes. This is not new. We have had promises that have gone unfulfilled, and developing countries are starting to lose trust within the multilateral processes, and the outcome of COP29 does not help break this trust. What we achieved actually at COP29 was a cheap way of polluters escaping to take responsibility through dubious carbon market plans.
So the failure then to secure robust climate finance, obviously it's going to impact the ability of more vulnerable nations to adapt and mitigate the effects of climate change. What do you see then as the short to medium term impact of this decision?
You see, early next year, countries are supposed to submit what we call nationally determined contributions towards limiting global temperature rise. And I don't think with this outcome, developing countries will be ambitious in their NDCs. What does this mean? Already, the IPCC report indicates that the current NDCs are very far from meeting the 1.5 degrees target. Actually, they put us on a trajectory to hitting 2.8 degrees of global temperature rise by the end of this century. This means the world will become uninhabitable. So with this kind of lack of commitment from developed countries to support developing countries to be able to put forward ambitious plans that will help limit global temperature rise, we are looking at a world that is going to be on fire, a world that will not support the well-being of our children. We'll be giving our children a future that is inhabitable.
And part of the problem, of course, is now that widening gap between the global north and the global south.
There is a challenge when you look at even the way the global financial architecture is designed does not meet the needs of the global south. You see, the global south is suffering from distorted interest rates in crypto that is important in financing climate action. So the whole system is designed to undermine the efforts of the global south. And that's why we're calling not just for reforms, but transformation in global systems that have led us to this crisis that we are facing today.
So do you see then, as we approach COP30, a greater degree of resolution as far as grassroots movements and civil society organizations are concerned in holding leaders accountable and demanding stronger action? Are the voices going to become louder, do you think?
Yeah, what COP29 actually succeeded was to bring together civil society movements and developing countries. If you are following, you could recall civil society holding protests and demanding that actually resources be provided in the form of trillions and not billions, and for polluters to be able to pay up for their pollution, which included proposals for taxing the rich. This can only get louder as we move to COP30 in Brazil. So what COP29 outcome has really established is a strong cooperation between civil society and developing countries in the global south to push for real climate solutions and not the false solutions that are presented in terms of loans, but also carbon markets.
So in that respect, then, are there specific steps now ahead of COP30 that can be taken to ensure the roadmap addresses these shortcomings and amplifies climate ambition?
Yeah, you'll also recall that next year, South Africa, for example, will be hosting G20 presidency. And I think through these processes that are going to happen next year in the lead up to COP30, we need to continue pushing to make polluters pay for the damages that they have caused the world. So in the lead up to COP30, we are planning to engage in various processes and ensure that the outcomes in those processes are holding polluters accountable, are holding developed countries accountable for their pollution, and for them to take responsibility in cleaning up the mess that they have caused the world.
It certainly is becoming a more and more serious situation, and that hourglass, it seems, is running out. Amos Wimanya, thank you very much indeed from Greenpeace.
Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.